A&M Church is a movement that was started in 1915. It came out of a revival that happened in America where the pouring of the Spirit came out when some people in a place called Azusa Street, some people that were praying for God to move. And you know, so they wouldn't be disturbed, they got milk crates and put them on the head and sat on milk crates and boxes on the head and just prayed. And the Holy Spirit just fell upon them. And from that, there was a great move of God. Healing was birthed in Ireland first and then in the UK. And there are now over between, well, at least 550 Elim churches in the UK. But 650, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Esther. Bob. And in the UK, there are that many churches. But abroad, in Elim Global, there are thousands of churches. How many, Bob? How many are there, Bob? 6,000 odd Elim churches abroad, and they're all meeting today and worshiping God. And today we have three global leaders today, well, two global leaders and a half. And one of the things to be real, are you cold? Are you okay? Who's cold? Can you turn the air conditioning up? That's great. 90 degrees. That's great. So today is my privilege to have Joel, who's the global leader of Sri Lanka, and his son Blessing, who is a blessing. Their church is a lot bigger than ours. Blessing, who's 26, runs a church that's almost as big as this himself of young people, and they're going to share in a minute. And many of you know Bob, most of you know Bob, and he'll share a little bit himself. You remember we did a bike ride, Chris? Yeah, Chris did a bike ride, you gave some money. We're going to show you how that building is progressing today. Is that good? And then we're going to finish with some worship before we go to the Pentecost in the Park. So it's my great pleasure. Could you give a round of applause, please, to Joel and Blessing coming up? You want to come this way?
First of all, I thank him for the Elim mission. They brought us to UK for the conference. We were, our nation, Sri Lanka, you know, 30 years war after, people were suffering. Then God has took us to lead us for the church. Many my friends, my brothers and sisters, on 1986, they left the all over the world like a refugee standard. Then I asked the Lord, I want to also go to any other country for leave. The Lord said, no, Joel, you must stand for your nation. You must do the my ministry. Thank God. That war time, people were touched by for the Jesus Christ. I know you, your decision, the Britain, we are praying and praying for the people because they brought to the gospel to the our nation. That's a saying, Great Britain people, and they have a great God. His name is Jesus. You are not failing. You are not discouraged. You will stand before God. God will bless this nation. Some of the missionaries came home. Some of the missionaries, they left. They not came home because they brought the glory of God. That's why we are blessing. The understanding, no color, no caste, no rich or no poor. Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. We must really understand how he loves the people, how his love is encourage the people. When come to the church, speak to the one person, give the hand, pray for them. Church is most important thing. And we can see Acts 28 chapter, the city was Medelda, They didn't know for the people. The ship was broken. 237 prisoners and the Roman soldiers. They didn't know Jesus, but they loved them. They encouraged them. That's the way the Christmas all over the world, the Christ is moving. On this Pentecostal day, we were here with my son. He will deliver the word because the younger generation, Joshua generation, was come forward. Then only we can save and alive. I thank God to Ely Mission introduce that I sing the your father, I like the pastor, I like the brother, Robin. It's a wonderful heart. And we saw the, his son, Joe, and his wife. We were together. No color, no caste, but we gather in the name of Jesus. I bless you on this day, the Pentecostal day. This city will be blessed. You have a wonderful God. You must go forward. You brought the gospel to the other nation. You must think, wake up, steady and stand. Go forward, because the Great Britain will be Great Britain. Thank you. God will bless you. I think my son will be deliver the word for you. Okay, Robin, it's okay? Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I bring greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to everyone who is here today from Mizpah Prayer Missionary Ministry, which is our church. It's, in fact, a long name for a church, but that's the church that I'm serving in. I'm serving as a youth pastor there, and my dad, who just spoke now, is the senior pastor and the founder of the church. To just give some context about our ministry began in 1993, 25 years ago, as a house church with 8 believers. And thank God, God has been really faithful and he has honored our commitment. Today we serve as a church to 650 people on a Sunday. And God has also been very faithful the last 10 years, who has increased our vision, not just to serve as a church locally, but nationally. So we've enlarged to 10 other cities. So we've got 10 other branches. So on a regular Sunday, on a normal Sunday, we are ministering to 1,500 people. So I'm just saying that, so I'm really encouraged being with you, and God is doing amazing things through us and for us, and I just want to say my thank you to Pastor Robin and Joshua and Luma for just hosting us this weekend. It's been an amazing time with them, and by the way, I had an amazing time yesterday with the men's. I guess I'm going to quote Alan here. If you're wondering who Alan is, the Alan who played the keyboards, he said, that's the group of real men. So I had I had a great time. Thank you guys for just loving me to be with you all. And this is my first time in the UK. And I was part of the conference last week, and I just came out of the conference. I had my friend next to me, and I said, is there any possibility that it would get a little bit warmer? He said, just don't be too greedy. He said, this is as good as it gets. This is a blessing. Then I just made sense. Yeah, when blessing comes, it's blessing. Okay, some of you didn't get that. Anyway, let's just turn to let's turn to Mark chapter 3. I'm just going to speak to you for the next 10 minutes. That's it. Mark chapter 3, if you have your phones, just scroll down, or just if you have your Bibles, just turn to Mark chapter 3. I'm just going to read just a few scripture and then move on. Just one big thought here. I'm not bringing something new here, and it's not a new idea or a theology. I'm just bringing something here that would just remind you in your Christian walk with the Lord. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. Verse 14. And he appointed 12, whom he had named apostles so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. I'm here to speak to you this morning on the theme, my Christian calling, my primary Christian calling. It includes you also. All of us have specific different callings. Some of you would be working in the kingdom of God full-time in vocational ministry. Some of you would be working as a doctor. Some of you would be working as a mechanic. But all of us as disciples and followers of Jesus Christ have a primary calling. And it's exactly the same. Your calling is just as the same as mine. And both of our calling is just as same as the disciples. So even though this word was written 2018 years ago, as I was just pondering on this calling, when Jesus invited or called the disciples, he was in fact keeping people in mind. Let me just put this for you. To just simplify it, cast out demons, preach the good news, and heal the people, Jesus was thinking about us. Listen, we are spirit, soul, and body. Preach the word to the spirit so that the spirit is eternally saved. Heal the body from the sickness and cast out the bondage from the soul. The soul is made out of emotions, mind, and will. So this is where the soul is where the demons torment us. So they torment our emotions, our mind, and have our will captive. So when Jesus said, preach out the good news, heal the sick, and cast out demons, he was simply saying, help the people. And I'm really encouraged. Last Friday, Robin took us to the community shops, and it's really encouraging to see, what you are doing in this community. Could you put your hands together for you? Go ahead. It might be a normal thing for some of you, but it has really challenged us. It has really challenged us, and we'll be implementing that back home. The emphasis is not on helping people, but it's very important to read the verse again. Some of you would have read it, but the emphasis this morning that I want to bring is, before Jesus called them to do something, Jesus called them to be something. The power to do comes from the power of being with Jesus. If you let me read it for you again. Verse 14 tells, and he appointed the 12 so that they might be with him. The casting out demons, helping the people, and preaching the good news all comes after Jesus called them to be with him. So just to help you remember your Christian calling, your basic, your primary Christian calling, just two words here. One is to know him. One is to know him. The power to do will come from the power to be. So Jesus invited them and said, you have to eventually go out and preach, but you have to know me. You have to have a relationship with me. I'm just going to use an illustration, which is very fitting here. The extension cord. You can use an extension cord and plug any number of electronic devices on the other end of the extension cord. But if the extension cord is not connected to the power source, it's no use. But the moment it's connected, the same power that is coming out of the power source is available at the other end of the extension cord. So we are called to care for people. We are called to love people. I don't know whether people have told you this, but all of us, wherever we are established in, we are God's extension cords of grace, love, healing, and his power. Amen? So, number one, we have to know him. And the second point is very easy. Glowing. One is knowing. Second is glowing. Okay, I know it rhymes. But the reason that I'm doing that is not, it's not so that at the end of the service you would say, that's a cute little message. No, I'm just helping you to just remember it throughout the week. This is what the Lord told me at the service. Okay, I need to alter my behavior. I need to alter my daily routine with the Lord. This is something that the Lord has challenged. So, glowing. The Bible always speaks about and challenges us to be the light of the world. Yes? And it's very interesting that the world that we are living in is getting even more darker. And we are challenged to be the light. I don't know whether this has occurred to you. Okay, this is not something new. But to actually define, when we say we are the light of the world, I'm not bringing something new here, but this is making it very easy. You are not the light. Okay, let me read one more scripture for you. This is John the Baptist. This is the ministry of John the Baptist. If you could just turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 6. There was a man sent from God. This is talking about John the Baptist, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. Verse 8 is very important. He was not the light. Let me repeat that. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. We are not the light. That should take a lot of burden out of us. We are not the light. We are reflections who stand around the light. Jesus is the light. And we are called to glow. I mean, I've got a glowing watch back home. I mean, most of you know how the system works. It's very interesting to study it because in itself, it cannot glow in itself. It cannot glow by its own. They have sometimes placed some glowing stickers or some glowing pads. The moment it is exposed to the light, it starts glowing. But if you keep the glowing watch in the dark for 2 to 3 days, it stops glowing. It does not glow by itself. The message is simple this morning. All of us are saved by grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Any other foundation for our salvation is folly. Okay? We are all saved, but we have stopped glowing. I want to challenge you. I'm by the way, I'm not 26, I'm 23. Okay? This morning, I just want to kindly and humbly just challenge yourself. We are all called to love people. We are all called to be God's light out there. We are called to be God's extension cords of healing. But I just want to remind you this morning that the power to do these things comes from the power of being in relationship with Him. We need to be the light. We need to glow. But we can only glow if we can know Him. Every head bowed all across this place. Father God, thank you this morning. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And we celebrate it. And it's only because of that we have the privilege to come before you and call out Abba, Father. Father, I pray for those who are making their hearts turn towards you this morning and challenging themselves to have a consistent relationship with you so that they might have the power from being with you and spending time in prayer and reading the Bible so that they can shine wherever they are established in. Father, I pray those who are making a commitment in their hearts right now that you will give them your Spirit, your grace, even though it's challenging, even though it's hard, that you will pour out your grace and your love on them. We thank you for your Spirit and all the glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Come down here. Yeah. So you were 23, but you're like a 26-year-old. Dad, could you come stand? That's great. John, could you hobble down? That's great. Josh, could you stand here? So the plan is this young man is doing his theological degree now. He's coming to Ealing Bible College, hopefully next year, with a view that he'll do his master's. That's right, isn't it? And then he will plant a Bible college in Colombo, in Sri Lanka, for pastors to be trained. He's 23. Almost as old as me. And you've got him first. First time he's ever preached in the UK, and guess where it is? So watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this space. Raise your hands towards them. That's great. That's great. Father, we thank you so much for men and women who are willing in other countries to get up at 5:30 in the morning on a Saturday if they're leading the church on Sunday and start praying. Men that will go against persecution, even go into war-torn countries like Joel did, when thousands and thousands of people were killed, and this man went and planted a church, and willing to give of themselves. And we pray, Father, that the latter years will be far greater for them than they've ever received before or known before. We pray for the Elim Church in Colombo, Lord, to be blessed beyond measure. We pray for Joel. Yes, Lord, more of your spirit. We pray for blessing in Jesus' name, that today, this young man, it will be a start of a journey that will blow his mind. Lord, we pray that we thousands in the kingdom because of Joel and blessing in Sri Lanka. Not one or 10 or 100, but Lord, we dare to believe for thousands. What about a million? Because of what you're doing in them. Thank you for them and bless them abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Let's give them another round of applause. So it's my privilege now to ask Bob to come and share a little bit, tag preaching a little bit or something. I don't know what he's going to do. Are you going up there? Don't go that way. Okay. Got a bad knee. Okay. Oh, God. Great. So Bob is in Romania. He's the global leader in Romania. Give the global leader in Romania a big round of applause.
Good morning. Sorry about the voice, a bit of a chest cold. I'm a global leader in Romania. We looked around and we found just me, hence. But it's a joy to be here and to be with you once again. And the first thing that I want to say to you is from the heart, thank you. Thank you for your love, expressed in prayer, expressed in your giving, and expressed in your continued interest in the mission that goes on out there in Romania. We are grateful. We're grateful to God. We're grateful to you. God bless you continually. Now, you will know that in October, it was the last Sunday in October, in fact, we had a little bit of an adventure. The fire fell. Well, it didn't fail. It grew. Do we have any? Casa Speranzi. That means house of hope, and that's what we call the house. Because God called us initially to go into this rural part of Romania and to bring the gospel, which is God's power to save those who believe, to bring that gospel to the up-and-coming generation, to children and young people, not exclusively, but that was largely what God called us to do. And so the first thing we did was build a house. That was the house that we built. Now, on the right-hand side, it's open plan, and it's quite a large room. And that's where we first brought young people in and taught them, showed them, demonstrated to them, as God enabled us, that Jesus Christ is Lord, loves them, has a plan and purpose for their lives. Well, the house served us well for about 14 years. And then on the morning of October, the last Sunday morning, this was the sad thing that happened. If you can see on this left-hand picture, the tall chimney stack that runs up there, that was blocked. And we had some very dear friends, and I really mean it, they are dear friends still. They came to try and clean the chimney. And because the carbon and soot had built up near the top, they spent 4 hours trying to clean it unsuccessfully. So they reverted to a good old Romanian village trick. They got a rag, soaked it in diesel, shoved it up the chimney, and nothing much happened. However, we think that probably it was burning away during the night, or smoldering away during the night, and sometime in the morning some sparks got onto the roof, and it ignited the roof, and there was a wind blowing, and it wasn't very, very long before that was the effect. And we stood there and watched, the far left corner. It was our colleague Elizabeth Face's room. She had everything in there, and that's where she slept. I slept in a little cottage a little bit further up the lane, which we built so that we could make more room for visitors and so on. So I wasn't in the main house. She was. But she heard the noise, and then she woke up, saw the flames, and so she skedaddled. But poor Liz lost everything, because everything she had was in that room. Anyway, let's go on to the next picture. These are just pictures of the devastation. The house was pretty well ruined. The walls were left intact, so that was a mercy. Quite strongly built house, but the roof and all of our bedrooms were up there. We have four bedrooms up there, bathroom, at least the toilet and shower room and stuff like that. All of these were completely ruined. And as you can see, when the fire brigade came out, because they're quite a long way away. The fire brigade are about, 16, 17 miles away. And they came out in a creditable 24 minutes. But by that time, all was finished. The force of the water, thousands and thousands of gallons of water sprayed on to extinguish the fire. And that ruined pretty well a lot of the stuff that was below. So it was a pretty bad job. You can see the big room there. And we had about 2 tons of rubbish. The villagers were marvelous. They came out in force on that day and the subsequent days. They came out with tractors and trailers. They came out with all sorts of things, and they moved the rubbish, the debris that was left, over 2 tons of it, and cleared the site. Okay. And again, well, this is some of the stuff we salvaged. All of the kitchen utensils were pretty well saved. And we had some very sturdy bits of wooden furniture that are a bit scarred, but we will be able to use them again. But apart from that, everything was gone. Okay? And again. Okay? Yeah. And these are the gables taken off in preparation for the rebuild. Right? Now, we had an architect, and he said, the only way you can rebuild this house is to dig deep, deep channels into the ground and have on every single corner, inner corners and outer corners, steel-reinforced pillars. So this house is going to look like no other house in the whole county of Cluj. And these are the shuttering for the things, and then we have a concrete floor put on. Okay. And again, moving on. And again, there's the lorries coming out with the concrete. It was pumped in. And on this right-hand picture, the new walls. Now, if you remember the first picture we showed of the house, where the roof went up at a fairly severe angle. Well, that's not happening anymore. The walls go straight up, and we're going to have a very, very shallow roof on the top. And again, somebody said that with all these steel-reinforced pillars all around, this house is going to be standing when Jesus comes. Well, may well be. And that is the architect's impression of what the house will look like. So it will be larger on the top floor. We'll have 5 instead of 4 bedrooms. We have 2 shower and toilets instead of just 1. Downstairs will be substantially the same, but on the left-hand side it'll be a little bit different from practical purposes. So there we are. We now have the house looking like that because this past week the roof was put on. So praise God. Okay. If we can move on. Yeah. Yes. Now, Elizabeth, our colleague, who is, we call her Wonder Woman. That's her. She's incredible. She found this little statement by Elizabeth Elliot, the widow of one of the 7 martyrs in South America who gave their lives in the cause of God. Well, one thing I am perfectly sure, God's story never ends in ashes. Hallelujah. And that is the case. The next picture, I think, says, now, I want to tell you that notwithstanding this somewhat traumatic experience and the various associated problems of bureaucracy and getting papers renewed, this, that, and the next thing, and it was quite traumatic. The work of the kingdom carried on. We didn't stop preaching the gospel. We didn't stop with the programs for the people, because God was not taken by surprise by this, and God still loved all those folk who we were seeking to minister to and share the gospel with. And this is one of the results, that we baptized something like 11 people just about a month before I came back, beginning of last month. And God is moving. Now, this couple on the right, you'll forgive me, it's age and condition, but I quite forget their names. And nevertheless, I remember them vividly. They were absolutely, totally given over to alcoholism. They used to scream and shout and fight and squabble, and they were a mess. Their faces were ravaged, and they were in a bad, bad place until they met Jesus. And Jesus Christ totally, utterly, completely changed them. And they were a couple who were baptized just a few weeks ago. Now, 2 weeks after the baptism, I was standing outside the church. The church now rarely numbers less than 60 people on any of the services they have, because God is moving in that whole community. It's a community that had a reputation for violence and lawlessness, and we saw quite a lot of that and experienced a bit of it too on a number of occasions. But God is moving by his Spirit in that community and transforming lives wonderfully. And 2 weeks after the baptismal service, this lady came up to me. She was very, very well dressed, nicely dressed. Her face was glowing. I didn't recognize her, and yet it was that same lady. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. The old passes away, the new comes. And the beauty that shone from her face, the radiance that shone from her face, was just an absolute joy to behold. And her husband, he just longs to get him among other people who don't know Jesus and tell him what Jesus has done for him. They're two of a number of people whom God is working for. And I say that in lives like that, we're seeing miracles. It's the miracles of God's changing grace. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your giving. May God continue to bless you and this very lovely church. Amen.